Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Happy holidays. This is the next to last call before Christmas, so welcome aboard here on December 16th, 2014, near or 2016. We're close to the end of an era. 2014 is almost in the books, but you have plenty of time to put your foot on the accelerator. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I have a part two of Unresolved Anger this evening for quantum healing. I have some great content for you that will assist you have a better understanding of cause and effect, how you and many of the people in your circle of influence take themselves out of the flow of life, out of the game of life, out of free enterprise because of the causes that creates the effects of anger, which can lead to procrastination, unresolved issues, addictions, and a whole multitude of situations that keep you doing what you do and not understanding how to let go. I'm going to give you some great insight on that this evening. I just heard from Dr. Joe Dispenza's assistant, Paula Meyer. I've known Paula for many years. I'm in the process of booking Dr. Joe Dispenza for a Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset call in March. So for those of you who do not know who Joe is, he was featured predominantly in the movie What the Bleep. He's also the author of the highly inspiring book called How to Let Go of Being Yourself, and he has several other books and great CDs and audios. He is an exceptional keynote speaker, and I'm privileged to have Dr. Joe on the call coming up in March. The last Tuesday of 2014, Susan Sly will be my guest to end the era of 2014. So Susan will be the guest two nights from 2 weeks. What a great guest Susan is. And for those of you who are on tonight's call, this Saturday will be my last event of 2014 in Scottsdale, Arizona. I will ramp back up the More Heart Than Talent events beginning January 10th in Pleasanton, California, which is the San Francisco East Bay, January 15th, which is a Thursday. I'll be in Palm Springs, California from 12 to 4 with Alexis Romano and Susan Sly. I'll be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, January 24th. My first ever trip with exceptional Casey Fluff in El Paso, Texas. Those of you who got to spend a weekend with Casey, she is an exceptional woman, someone who really understands the art of ease, peace, how to deep breathe, how to really release, also how to create results in free enterprise. Casey is an exceptional businesswoman as well, and one of the top mentorees of Jennifer Trinker, one of Jennifer's exceptional teammates. As I said, Jennifer's going to be a guest on my call right around mid-January. On February 7th, I'll be in Spartanburg, California. I want to thank exceptional client and friend Bridget Bartley for bringing me to her city in beautiful South Carolina. February 14th, Los Angeles. I want to be in Long Island twice in the first part of 2015. Long Island on February 28th. I want to thank Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz for that event. March 7th, St. Louis, Missouri, Norwalk, Connecticut, and those are just a few of the places that I will be in the early part of 2015. You can find all of my events on my website at goldenmastermind.com. I'm in the process of any day unveiling my new website. I have a total of 4 brand new websites. We at Golden Mastermind, our team, are very inspired to release our new websites, some of our new lead funnels, and just some great tools for entrepreneurs to empower themselves and create more sales, more branding, and better ways to market yourself, creating leads, etc. So that are just a few of the announcements. Now, as 2014 comes to an end, myself and Carolyn Olson created a brand new page that will give you some great insight and one of the emotions that keep you doing what you do. We have just started a new group called the Guilt Cleanse. And that group is already over 700 strong in less than 3 days. We're also going to be launching a fan page called GNM, Guilt No More. So presently, you can go directly during or after this call to the Guilt Cleanse and join our group. There's some great postings in there already. Feel free to post whatever you'd like to post about how guilt gets created, how to release it, and your experiences with guilt, shame, blame, anger, resentment, unresolved issues that keep you in an overwhelmed, out-of-body experience. So there's a some great content that's already being created. I want to thank Carolyn Olson, who did all the legwork and is the administrator of that group. With that, I'm going to move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. One last note, for those of you who have been considering hiring me to be your coach, I will be changing my rates in 2015. I just can't continue with the kind of schedule I have. I'm going to raise my rates a small amount, so if you want to take advantage of my present rates, those are good until December 31st. That is 5 one-hour sessions with 50 hours of downloaded content and a 2.5-day event called Breakthroughs to Success. You can purchase that value for $2,500. As of January 1st, my rates will be $3,000 for the exact same package. With that, I'm moving into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This is one of my favorite topics and a topic that I'm so inspired to speak about that I'm in the process of writing my first book on this topic. This is one of a trilogy of books I am writing, one called The Anger Factor, The Success Factor, and The Wealth Factor. I've hired an agent specifically for this book to take it to Free Enterprise and shop it to two of the biggest publishing companies, Simon & Schuster and Wiley & Sons. So that's how much I feel about this content. The content tonight is dedicated to the 30-day anger detox. Now, what does that mean? It means for the next 30 days, you become aware of cause and effect. You have a better understanding of why you do what you do. You're able to take a good look objectively at the causes that create your effects of anger. You're able to let go of people that provoke you. You don't fly off the handle as much. You don't let your anger take you out of the flow of life. The content that I'm covering tonight will assist you not only with your business, but your children, your spouses, your relatives. It's very common at the dinner table around holidays that people in your circle of influence will make statements to see if they can provoke you. Now, if you grew up in a passive-aggressive household, a household with addictions, or an aggressive household, a dysfunctional household, or any multitude of situations, perhaps you were bullied on a playground, or you had a teacher or someone in your circle of influence that made fun of you, ridiculed you, or any multitude of situations, it can create unresolved feelings, specifically of anger, hate, and resentment. Then there's also the other emotions that play into these facts, that is abandonment, rejection, guilt, and shame that create the unresolved issues, the overwhelmed feelings that create anxiety. And if you find yourself in anxiety more frequently than you are in production, that means a large percent of your production and relaxed time is going to be devoted to procrastination, which can lead to guilt and shame. Guilt, shame, anger and resentment practically go hand in hand. Tonight's call is specifically dedicated to a series of questions I wrote specifically for this call. What are some examples of angry individuals? Many of you have seen angry individuals. The face of anger is not always the hostile, rage-filled person. Many people have unresolved anger of stuffed feelings. Many people go out of their way to give and serve. They have an identity based on giving. They give, 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 and they give, 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 but a lot of their giving is based on approval. They're virtually giving to seek approval, and if they don't get the approval that they're seeking, because oftentimes giving becomes their identity, they don't get rewarded for the giving that they give, and then they feel rejected, abandoned, violated, and specifically angry. And many of these people, I call them, it's in my book on procrastination, but I call them the angry giver. You've seen some of these people. Some of you have relatives that are like this. They give, 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 and then they're shocked if you don't give them approval. Have you ever had someone in your family that slaved over the kitchen? They slaved and they made multiple dishes and they want to stuff it down your throat. And if you reach a point where you say, no, thank you, I can't do that, they're shocked. They're absolutely in shock that you would violate them by not stuffing your feelings anymore with the food that they have prepared. Anger has many faces. Take a look at some of the faces that you grew up with of anger. There's the passive-aggressive anger person. That type of person typically is unpredictable. One day they can fly off the handle. The other day they're very nice. This type of person is also prone to write letters and apology cards. Many times they'll go into blackouts, not remember what they did, say unfavorable remarks, off-the-wall type of remarks, violate you emotionally, occasionally physically, and then the next day not remember what happened and actually are even shocked sometimes, or on a whole different level of guilt and shame. Then there's the road rageaholic, the kind of person who honks, the kind of person who makes big scenes in airports, the kind of person who huffs and puffs, that goes like, you've seen some of these people. These are just a few of the faces of anger. What kind of situations in one's childhood create anger in adulthood? Well, unresolved issues in childhood are typically what create the unresolved anger that you carry, especially if you're unaware of why you do what you do, cause and effect, and the neurological network creates a memory based on a past event. If you continue to hold on to events or make other people wrong for the way you feel today, and you have challenges forgiving, then you will probably be in unresolved anger. The key to letting go is forgiving. Neurologically, the key to letting go is breathing. When you begin to take a deep breath and followed by just a simple affirmation of release, you can begin to let go of the events that created a set of feelings that have become your mood and possibly even your identity. And when you continue to hold on to situations, then it gives you an excuse not to produce, not to perform, not to exercise, not to get on with life, and will keep you in the same situation. Another common face of anger is brooding and pouting. The brooding pouter is what I call it. Oftentimes they have a lip that goes over their upper lip. My father used to say, get that rooster off your lip. What he meant was I would tend to put my bottom lip over my top lip. I'd have a good old-fashioned chewing out. I would take it personally, and I would put my lip up there, and I would brood, and I would pout. I'm a recovering brooder and pouter. There's another type of anger addict that carries a chip on their shoulder. These people tend to go out of their way to set people up to violate them. They go out of their way to set people up to disappoint them. I'm also recovering from this situation myself. Then there's the type of person who will tend to do too much for others. This is very common in a business of duplication or a business with leverage. When you have many people in your circle of influence, it's very common and it's very routine for you to feel over-obligated or obligated to someone else's success. If you have codependent issues, if you have been conditioned to take care of people, rescue people, enable people, it's very common to feel responsible for someone else's success. And when you tend to do too much or create a story about an outcome that hasn't happened, you romance someone's potential, they join the witness protection program, they leave the building, they're no longer in the house, they've left because you exhibit so much control that they don't want to be part of your control. They're gone and you're checked out, overwhelmed and unresolved anger. You've set yourself up to be disappointed. This is a very commonality. It's very easy to get seduced by someone else's potential. He or she is going to be real good. They're going to be great at this. Oh my God, I just did this with a gym. I brought a gym on board. When you create expectations that aren't realistic, it's very easy to get overwhelmed, get angry, brood, pout, feel disappointed, feel violated, most importantly, rejected and abandoned. And then at the bottom of the elevator shaft is your unresolved anger. And as you begin to understand cause and effect, why you do what you do, when you are angry, that is an effect. Anger is not a cause. Anger is an emotion. And when you begin to let go of your anger, it begins to free up a lot of space in your attractor factor. When you are angry, you will tend to attract people to fulfill your feelings of being emotionally and or physically violated so you can justify being angry. And when you continue to be and stay angry, the team that you attract, the people in your circle of influence, the mates that you attract will show up to fulfill your feelings of abandonment or rejection, overwhelmed feelings, and violation. Statistically, somewhere around 3 out of 5 women have been molested, sexually abused, or any type of situation that can cause the unresolved anger. About 2 out of 5 men have experienced the same situation, meaning that about half the population has been through some kind of sexual trauma. It's very common in a situation like that to leave your body in an outer body experience. It's such an it's such a strange phenomenon that we tend to check out. The same situation can happen when we're physically beaten. Now, a very interesting situation about anger, it's very common to be and stay angry and to be able to protect our violators. It's very common for me to coach someone and they'll tell me how great their parents were. Their parents were really good people. Their parents didn't do this, and I only got beaten when I acted up, or situations like this. You can typically tell when someone's protecting people in their circle of influence, because in conversation, when you ask them questions about what it was like growing up in their circle of influence, what it was like growing up in their neighborhood, what it was like growing up in their household, they'll tend to lead their conversation with the person they are protecting. It's a very common phenomenon and a common dynamic. The more you understand how predictable people are, the more you understand cause and effect, the more you can empower people by asking them a series of questions that will occasionally let them to let go. The key to letting go is objectivity. You cannot let go of what you stay in denial in. When you stay angry and don't know why you're angry, then anger becomes your identity. And if you continue to identify with being angry, creating situations to feel violated, that's your identity. When you are ready to let go, when you have suffered enough, when the pain is great enough, as my exceptional client C.G. Sidden said, I'm so done with this. When you've crossed that threshold, that bridge, you are ready to let go. You can virtually change not only your identity, you can change your neurology, meaning the way you feel. You can change your body language. You begin to change what you attract. You become a whole different type of person. That's the purpose of an anger detox. The only way you can unequivocally detox yourself of anger is understand it. You can't let go of what you do not understand. And if you continue to say, I don't know why I do this, if you have that string on your neck and you continue to pull it and go, I don't know, I'm not sure, uncertainty and staying in an unknown state leaves you in doubt. That's the space between fear and faith. When you say, I might have been, this could have happened to me, well, you actually know, but oftentimes you'll use, well, my whole childhood's a blank. I don't remember what happened in my past. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to live in the past. Oh, do I have to go to one of those events where I'm going to cry? When you create that kind of experience before you start, then you are perpetuating, you are in reinforcing how you're going to be addicted to a set of emotions that will keep you angry and oftentimes in guilt and shame. When you are angry and you go off, you blow up, you blow steam, you lose it on someone, there's a lot of times that you'll feel regretful, you'll feel guilt and shame as an after effect. One of the greatest ways to neutralize some of that anger is learn to apologize without an excuse. But if you have to qualify your apology, then all you're doing is lying. If you're able to apologize humbly, if you're able to admit your shortcomings, if you're able to go to people and ask for their forgiveness, if you're able to do that humbly, it can actually not only let them feel better, but can allow you to feel better and allow you to begin the anger detox. When you understand the face of anger, why you get angry, and you begin to let go of it, then you will unequivocally begin to heal. Another question on my questions tonight is, how did I become angry? The way you became angry is not only the event, but the way you perceive the event. If you grew up in a situation where you were a child in a birth order, and you may have been one of the latter childs, and the other children got more than you received, or if you went to a graduation party, or you went to Christmas, and a set of children in your family got more than you got, if you grew up in the wrong side of the tracks, if you got violated in any multitude of situations, that's going to define how you became angry. Anger is based on how you perceived an event. Anger is also based on how you hold on to an event. As you begin to change your story about what happened, the facts are the facts. When you face the facts, are honest with yourself, objective, understand cause and effect, why you do what you do, then you can tell your story without any emotion. But when you're emotional and you get really angry about being angry, or you become unglued about your anger, or you find ways to stay angry, then there's no separation. When you are unequivocally connected to that feeling, when you hold on to that feeling, then it's very common for those feelings to be your identity. And if you are one of these people, angry all the time means that you go out of your way to create anger, and you can feel this in people. It's hostility in people. You can sense it. You can feel it. You can just tell it. And if you can, and oftentimes these people tend to rebel. Now, if you're a rebeller and you come from that type of anger, then what you end up doing is you get angry at yourself. Not only are you going to be angry at other people, angry at the world, but there's a high probability you'll spend a great part of your life judging yourself. No matter what you do, it's never good enough. Your body has challenges not only relaxing, but your body has challenges resting. And this is why oftentimes that many people go to bed, they'll take their hostility, their unresolved issues, they'll toss and turn, and then they'll wake up in the morning with a headache. They'll grind their teeth at night because of the pressure they're under. Well, anger doesn't create pressure. Anger creates an emotional state that's a very, very frenetic energy. Anger and unresolved issues can create subluxations in the neck, specifically C1, C2, invertebrae 3 and 7, can also affect the rib head on the non-dominant side of your body, your low back. So if you lay down to get an adjustment, you'll have one leg longer than the other. When you are angry, it usually shows up on the non-dominant side of your neck. If you're right-handed, it'll show up in your upper cervical, typically in C1 and C2, because you grind your teeth at night on the non-dominant side of your body. If you're right-handed, it's very common you'll grind on the left. You'll grind at night because of what you take to rest with you. You want to be able to free yourself of the ties that bind. Before you go to bed at night, forgive. Forgiveness is the greatest recipe for letting go. How can you let go when you continue to hold on? You can't. Letting go is a skill. Letting go is non-linear. Letting go is non-physical. How do I let go? You let go by letting go. Letting go is not able to be explained. Letting go has to be experienced. But to be able to experience letting go, you have to be in a position that you've suffered enough. You have to be in a position that you're ready. This pain is great enough. You're done with this. You're so tired of it. You're exhausted being exhausted. Being angry takes a lot of energy. However, once you can tap into your anger, once you have a better understanding of it, you can turn your anger into passion. Many people go, how do I? Well, instead of asking yourself how, learn to ask yourself why. Simon Sinek wrote a great book called Begin With Why. He breaks down a phenomenon called why, how, what. Most people ask how, what, why last. Actually reverse it. Why do you do what you do? What's the why do you want to let go of the situation? Why do you want to let go of the effects that keep you perpetuating a cause? What is the reason that you want to change? When you can start to have a compelling reason bigger than your problem, then you can live in a place called the solution. But when you're angry all the time, when you create anger, perpetuate anger, set other people up to make you angry, and that's what many people do, they'll provoke a fight. When you have this term, conflict consciousness. Conflict consciousness is a term I coined. It's like prosperity consciousness. It means that you spend a lot of your time in conflict. And you'll create conflicts to unwind conflict because conflict has become a way of life. You'll go through a divorce with someone who you're in a lot of conflict with. You'll turn right around and you'll mate or date someone who has a similar conflict. It may not reveal itself early in the relationship, but underlying somewhere in there is a passive-aggressive person or an aggressive person that you're going to mate with because you haven't let go of the tie that binds. When you are ready, when you understand that the pain is great enough, when you have suffered enough, suffering does not have to be physical. A lot of your suffering is emotional. When you are guilty because you hold on to situations and you justify not being able to let go, when you keep perpetrators in your life because you're too guilty to face them, when you keep people in your life that continue to violate you, that keep you angry, when you keep people in your life that challenge you, they constantly challenge you, they bait you, they ask you questions, they put you in a position you have to validate, justify, and explain yourself. When you keep people in your life that put you in a position that you might get into trouble, you might make a mistake, when you keep these people in your life, you go, oh, we can't move away. I don't want to deprive the kids of being around my passive, aggressive, angry relatives. No, I can't do that. We have to stay here. Oh, I'd feel so guilty if I did that. Guilt is one of the most debilitating emotions you can possibly send an emotional signal. Guilt is the most debilitating emotion that you can possibly live in. When you live in guilt and shame, you virtually attract people that are angry to fulfill your feelings of feeling violated. When you understand cause and effect, understand the basics of neuroscience, when you've read Change Your Brain by the great Dr. Joe Dispenza, when you've studied a book called The Biology of Belief, when you've read The Answer by John Assaraf, when you've read a book called Change Your Brain, when you've understood the basics, when you've read Maxwell Maltz, Psycho-Cybernetics, when you've read Joseph Murphy's The Power of the Subconscious, when you start to understand cause and effect, then you can live in a place called awareness. What you stay unaware of, you stay in denial of. But when you are unequivocally ready to release and let go, you will begin to change what you attract. Factor what you're going to attract when you're angry. Anger is a very interesting emotion. You can actually experience success in anger. Many athletes can tap into their sixth gear. They can tap into their unconscious. They can turn on the juice. They can turn on the DNA. They can take their game to the next level. They can talk smack to their opponents. They can say, I'm going to kick your keister, take you to school, take you downtown. They can insult you, try and provoke you, get you out of your game. And in that game, that banter, sometimes you have to be able to talk a little smack back. When someone pushes, you have to push them back. You've seen the term, and you've seen and heard the term scrums in rugby, Australia rules football, and in American football, you'll see it's a contact sport. Basketball is a contact sport. Baseball, there's contact. There's a lot of contact in any type of sport. Even in track and field, oftentimes there's bumping. There's head games that people play with you to take you out of your game. Even simple chess and checkers, there's an emotional game that goes on. The same situation that happens in any kind of game of chance, such as gambling, poker, or situation. People will try and get you out of your game so that you can make a costly mistake that may cost you a hand, cost you a match, cost you a game. And if you lose your composure, then you are going to get angry. Have you ever seen an athlete at the podium after a game who's disgusted with his performance and gets hostile with the press? Or one of the reporters asks a question that the athlete loses their composure, makes a complete fool of himself, and then the team has to apologize for them? Well, that happens because many times athletes are very emotional. Anger is a very, very frenetic, high-energy emotion. Of all the emotions, it has the highest level of energy, and that's why anger and passion are similar energies. When you can turn your anger into passion, when you can harness your anger as you learn to let go of it, you can turn it into a result. But when you continue to hold into your anger, you'll turn it into conflict. You'll find a way to be in conflict so you can either justify being right or you can justify being wrong. Those are the two faces of anger. I'll point this out to you. When you're angry and angry all the time, typically what your unconscious is looking for is conflict. And in conflict, one of two situations are going to happen. You're either going to prove yourself right, and you'll go to great lengths to prove yourself right. How many of you have done that before? You've exhausted yourself proving yourself right. That situation is very common in the legal system. People go to the wall, they'll actually sometimes go bankrupt to prove that they are right in the run-up exorbitant legal bills. How many of you have ever been in a lawsuit and you dropped the lawsuit because it just wasn't worth it? It was too expensive to vindicate yourself. Well, that's part of what's wrong with the legal system. And I've seen people absolutely destroy themselves financially proving they're right. Now, here's a question I ask many of my clients. Would you rather be right or rich? Now, rich doesn't necessarily mean money, but would you rather be rich in spirit? Would you rather let go, or would you rather continue to fight the fight that isn't worth the fight so you can prove you're right, ending up wrong because you lose in the legal system? It's not worth it. The pleasure isn't worth the pain. Sometimes you have to learn to turn the other cheek. You let people be right. You don't engage in hostile arguments. You don't engage in banter. You don't get into a tussle. You don't get into a Facebook war by pointing out that someone's wrong. And sometimes you do have to take a stand and hold your ground. You do have to stand up and defend yourself. But most of the time, when you are arguing with someone, you're wasting your time, exhausting your energy, exhausting yourself, which will create a very low level of energy. Oftentimes, you'll end up stuffing your feeling. That's typically what happens with people that are angry. People that are angry tend to have addictions, specifically alcohol and food. Those are the two most common addictions that come out of unresolved anger. When you're angry, it's very common to try and drink the anger edge off. The problem with drinking an anger edge off is it typically puts another anger edge on, and then all of a sudden you're in a blackout, in a fist fight, fight on the side of the road, wind up in jail not knowing how you got there. That's the face of anger. That's what happens when you take anger to the next degree of addiction, because anger can lead to blackouts. Blackouts lead to many situations that are embarrassing. You don't know what happened, and you find yourself apologizing for what you do not know you even did. Anger has a direct reflection on your health. Anger has a major effect on your health. Anger has been known to further the cause of cancer, further the cause of multiple sclerosis, and many other situations. Anger can also burn out your adrenal system, have an effect on your lymphatic system, and have effect on many other areas of your body. Anger can blow out your neck. Anger can create subluxations. It can create challenges with teeth clenching, grinding, and a whole multitude of situations. But when you learn how to let go of your anger, letting go means you're releasing. You release your feelings about events. When you're able to separate yourself from the facts are the facts. When you let go of your feelings about an event, when you change your perception about an event, when you change your language, when you let go of "yeah, but," you don't understand. That situation was. When you let go of getting even. Have you ever sat around and planned getting even, plotted getting even, spent hours figuring out how you're going to get even with someone? It's a colossal waste of your time. I'm not suggesting that you always turn the other cheek, but I'm suggesting you learn to let go. Let go of what you have no control of. Let go of what's not going to serve you. Let go of what's going to burn your most valuable commodity time. Address what you have to address and move on. And this is why so many times on Facebook, when someone says unfavorable, ridiculous situations, it's just much easier to delete the post, delete them, and block them, and move on. Rather than to get into a debate with someone, go into their inbox, "how dare you, I can't believe you did this," oftentimes it's just easier to move on. And there are people that go out of their way to see if they can provoke you. They'll do dumb things. They'll cross-recruit on your profile page. They'll do something ridiculous. They'll spam you. They'll send you a business opportunity in your inbox. Learn to erase it. Take a deep breath and let go. When you take a deep breath, what it does is it releases the neurological network. It virtually is a reset button and resets the way you feel about past events. For a few seconds and a few minutes, when you take that deep breath, it neutralizes the past and lets go of the anxiety of the future. When you're able to let go of anxiety about the future, then you don't go into a drunkalogue, a story, or a whole dissertation or diatribe about what might happen. If you have rejection issues and you take a look at the telephone and you end up burning your most valuable commodity, you'll get angry and feel guilty. It's very common. It's the blame, shame, rejection, overwhelm game that many people play, and they end up judging themselves. "I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I let this go. I can't believe I did this." If you're one of these people, it also lives in an overwhelmed, unorganized state. It also creates a state where you can't get started. Then you're angry at yourself. A lot of your anger is turned inward. Inward anger is what affects your emotional state, which eventually can affect your health. Once you face the facts that you have an issue with anger, what are some ways to calm your emotions? The number one way is to let go. Letting go is not physical. It's not linear. There are very few books written on the topic. The great David Hawkins wrote one of the greatest books ever written on the topic called Letting Go. But letting go can be done right here and right now. Letting go is nothing more than a decision. It's not complicated. Letting go is simple. It's so simple that most people want to complicate letting go. They want to write a book. They want a blueprint. They want guidance. They want coaching. They want mentoring. They want a pastor. They want an AA sponsor. They want someone to tell them how. How is the most overrated word in Webster's dictionary. The most underrated word that will give you peace, spirit, emotion, and freedom is why. Why do I do what I do? And why do I want to overcome what I'm doing? Your why. If you don't have whys, reasons to let go, reasons to succeed, reasons to dream, then you'll tiptoe quietly through life and live the greatest regret, the pain of regret. On your epitaph, you want it to say, "Here lies a man or a woman who got all they ever wanted." That's a great line from a song called "Living in a Moment" by Ty Harden, a great song that was a number one hit in 1999. And if you continue to do the same thing over and over, you will unequivocally get a great result. Affirmations are very good to assist you in letting go. Affirmations must be believed. An affirmation without a belief is a wish. It's just empty words. But when affirmations are words of power, when you believe what you're saying and you can write and speak in present tense, then they can become powerful. I no longer am obligated to holding on to my anger. On this day, I cast my burden to the Christ within. I no longer am holding Joe Smith responsible for my feelings. Writing a letter to someone can also be effective. Writing a letter to yourself, burning it, letting it go, burning sage, which is a Native American custom that can rid the body, a house, a situation of any kind of negativity. Negativity breeds anger. Anger breeds negativity. They go hand in hand. When you continue to hold on to the ties that bind, then you are virtually emotionally locked into a set of feelings that create an emotion. That emotion will continue to attract a similar situation over and over. You can say, this always happens to me. When you're building a leverage team in any type of business, or you have employees or affiliates, or you have salespeople, or you have teammates, well, a large percent of the people you're going to attract are going to be unresponsive, do not have risk for reward syndrome. Many of the people you're going to attract are underachievers. They're starters and they're not finishers. You have to be able to let go and not get angry. You have to learn to meet people where they are. I don't understand these people. People are crazy. These people are driving me nuts. I hear this frequently with some of my clients, and I will ask them, what is it that you don't understand to people? People are predictable. Learn to meet people where they are. Don't set people up to fail you. And how does anger show up in the social media culture? Well, that's pretty interesting. Around election time, you will see the three parties start to accuse each other of certain situations. You can see anger and hostility in commercials when it comes to debates. If you've ever seen debates where people get hostile, you've seen races get very hostile with each other. Just recently, you've seen on the television, groups have rioted because of situations. I mean, just take a look at what goes on in the world. The media is famous for stirring up situations because it sells publications. This is why not only in an anger detox, sometimes it's good to go on a CNN, constantly negative news detox. What does an anger detox look like? It looks like you taking deep breaths throughout the course of a day. It looks like you not eating the foods that you would typically eat when you are angry. It would look like you not giving people power that don't require and or deserve it. It would look like you learning how to meditate. It would look like you learning how to let go quickly. It would look like you smiling more frequently. It would look like you waking up in a different type of mindset. It would look like you changing your emotional energy. It would look like you having dedicated blocks of time to doing what you're dedicated to do. It would look like you following through on your word one day at a time. If you don't start, you can't finish. But you also have to learn to be this. You have to become a finisher. Many people are starters, and then they get angry that they don't finish, and they find someone else to blame. Now, here's a common commonality that is very frequent. It's called the flaw finder. You're going to encounter people who will find the flaw. They will find the flaw in you. They'll find a flaw in the ingredients. They'll find a flaw in a pay plan. They'll find a flaw in a system. They'll find a flaw in life. They are addicted flaw finders. It's your responsibility to be able to spot them. That means to intuit, intuitively, on feel, touch, and sense, be able to spot these kinds of people and not engage them. They are typically very left-brain, logical, and egoical. They would rather be right than rich, and they would rather set you up to fail them. You also have to be able to spot the people who set you up to disappoint them. It's a very common commonality, and you will see these people. They brood and pout. They sit in the back of the room. They'll make comments. I'm not really getting anything. Before the events start, they're negative. They'll make fun of people. They'll also go around a group, and they'll make comments about the leaders of the group, and they'll make situations, well, my limousine was late, I can't believe this happened, I can't believe this happened. You know, I lost my seat in the airplane. This always happens to me. This type of person typically lives in a dark cloud. They are typically spiritual and emotional vampires, and they are unequivocally people that you want to avoid. Oftentimes, these people are over-medicated, or they use alcohol or food to stuff their emotions. These are the type of people that end up believing they have many medical conditions, and then they use barbiturates and sedatives to dumb themselves down, because underneath it, they have a lot of rage and a lot of anger. And sedatives and medication definitely serve a purpose, but this type of person also tends to abuse their sedatives and medication because their anger is hostile. Now, if you encounter this kind of person, these are the kind of people that oftentimes beat women, beat men, or beat people. These are the kind of people who take out their aggression and rage on the world, that take it out on other people. You definitely want to do your best to avoid this kind of hostile anger, and the more you understand that, you'll avoid these kind of people. Once you let go of anger and you no longer feel a requirement to eat compulsively or be an exercise fanatic or a compulsive drinker, what can you replace compulsive behaviors with? Breathing, peace, reading, letting go, spending time in a relaxed type of exercise. Many times, angry people take their anger into the gym. You can see them on punching bags, weightlifting. They make loud sounds. They want to be noticed. The flaw finders typically want to have people notice them. You'll see this. And so if you're one of these people and you're in this process, you want to be able to seek this, P-E-A-C-E, peace. Peace is what will allow you to let go of your unresolved anger. And you want to be able to spend the second half or the second two-thirds or the last quarter of your life in that emotional state called peace, where you have a vibrational energy that vibrates from love, from joy, from bliss, and from enlightenment. You want to be able to operate from a place called awareness rather than anxiety, fear, and doubt. If you lived a large percent of your life in anxiety, fear, and doubt, there's a high probability that you're going to feel behind in life. You're going to feel cheated. You're going to be angry at yourself. The most common anger is self-anger, which oftentimes gets turned into self-hatred, which that's what creates cutting, burning, drugs, alcohol, compulsive spending, gambling, and a whole multitude of situations. A lot of addicts live in denial, angry that they're addicts, blame other people for their lot in life, other people for situations. You will encounter people in a leveraged business or any multitude of businesses when someone doesn't feel they got a fair shake. You are not a good mentor to me. I can't believe I'm positioned in this position in the pay plan. You were emotionally unavailable. You weren't available. You didn't answer my phone call. You didn't do this. I can't believe the company did this. I can't believe this. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't believe we're having this event this year. You want to be able to pay attention to this kind of personality. And if you're that kind of personality, change. Catch your anger at the door. Catch yourself in mid-sentence. Begin to be aware of your anger. There's a great book called Angry All the Time by a husband and wife team called F. Ron Potter. They have a revised edition that I recommend to everyone. My new book, The Anger Factor, will be available in 2015. What are some ways to handle angry people in your life? Family, work, neighborhoods, teammates. How can you diffuse anger when you encounter it in others? First of all, when someone is angry, don't engage them to the best of your ability. Learn how to neutralize them. When someone puts you in a position that you have to justify, validate, and explain, answer in a very short statement that ends with a question. Why do you live in Stockton, California? I've had people ask me. Because it's a great place for me to live. Why do you live in Los Angeles? Or why do you live wherever? And when someone puts you in a position that you have to validate, justify, or explain yourself, do your best not to tell a long story. When someone challenges you, do your best not to have to get physical with them. Do your best to be able to neutralize the situation as diplomatically and possible. At all costs, don't get into a dissertation, a debate, or a hostile situation with someone when it is not merited. Have a level of awareness. Sense and smell the danger when it happens. When someone wants to prove you wrong, let them be right. Learn to agree with people in a certain context that allows you to get out of the situation. When someone says to you, I bet you pay a lot in taxes, just say, I pay my fair share. What do you pay? turn the situation around with a U-turn. When someone puts you in a situation that you have to explain yourself, don't get into that dissertation. When someone says, is this a pyramid? Don't explain that. Ask them what a pyramid is. Learn to diffuse a situation rather than engage a situation. If you feel compelled to engage a situation, oftentimes you'll be the one losing your composure, and that person's already losing their composure. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for conflict. When you encounter someone as a conflict consciousness, they're looking for you to fulfill their feelings. You don't want to be that dummy, that stooge, or that kind of person that crosses the line. You want to be able to have a high sense of awareness, understand what is going on. When the passive-aggressive personality shows up, do not engage. Do your best to diffuse, move on, let go, and move and do that situation. How do you know when anger is justified? Well, that's a very interesting question, because anger sometimes is justified. We are conditioned to repress our anger. How about being conditioned to release our anger? Oftentimes, a lot of people stuff their anger. Anger is justified, especially when it's released. When you've been violated, traumatized, abandoned, neglected, abused, when you've been beaten and bullied, there's a high probability you'll be angry. Your anger is justified because you're stuffing it. Justifying meaning recognize it, understand it, be aware of it, and don't hold on to it. Holding on to it will allow you to continue to stuff it with food, alcohol, or any multitude of situations. When you're angry, feel your anger, but let go of it very quickly. When you're angry, recognize it. When someone does something to you and you start to feel yourself go over the cliff, or you have a wall-kicking moment, or you're on the ledge, well, be candid about it. Be honest. Find someone that can walk you through it, talk you down from it. Write a letter about the experience. But most importantly, learn to do this. Forgive. The more you learn to forgive other people for violating you, when you forgive someone, that doesn't make them right. It doesn't make them wrong either. It lets you out of the situation emotionally, so you're not holding someone else responsible for your feeling. Events that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and 30 years ago that you hold on to you occupy space in your emotional wall. They occupy space in your unconscious and conscious. When you continue to blame someone or hold someone responsible, you'll attract other people to fulfill the same feelings that you have. When you continue to hold on to a past parent or someone like that for something they did, then you're the one who's the victim, and you're giving them power to be the victor. Don't rent space to people who don't deserve it. Don't give time to people who no longer require it. Don't waste your energy on situations that you can do nothing about. Don't continue to hold on to what doesn't serve you. Move on, let go, release, be in the present, be in the moment, and most importantly, begin to use this affirmation. I am me, I am free. I am no longer the sum total of my past events that created my overwhelmed state. I'm no longer going to give my power to being anxious and in anxiety. And most importantly, stop worrying. What value does worry bring you? Absolutely nothing. If value brings me no worry, then don't give it energy. Don't focus on what hasn't happened, and don't worry about failing. That's what so many people do. As they create a situation, they invent a story about the future. They invent a story about the future, then they avoid the perceived situation that never happens. Then they're angry and guilty at themselves for what they did. Let go of your story that does not serve you. Let go of your anger at yourself. Stop being angry at yourself. Start to love yourself. Start to change your identity. Let go. Have a better understanding of a cause and effect. Be a lot more objective. You're not failing. You're just starting. And stop using words like hard. Oh, this is really hard. This is really hard. If you continue to use words like that, you will begin to perpetuate your struggle, and you'll be angry for not succeeding or not breaking through. Whatever your story you create, let go of your anger. And when you start to let go of your anger, people will notice. They'll make statements. Wow, you look really different. You look really good. Good. Also, holding on to anger ages you. It shows up in your eyes, shows up in your forehead, shows up in your abdomen. A lot of times people carry in excess 5 to 10 pounds of unresolved, angry water weight. Another great exercise is yelling, breathing and yelling. Yelling allows you to get deep primally into the rage and violations that you hold on to. I like to take a towel, fold it over a couple of times, bite down on it, and scream as long and as loud as I possibly can. If you do that two or three times, you'll be amazed at what happens in your body. You'll feel exhausted for a few minutes because you had it. It's like being in an outer body experience. When you really get into the spirit of letting go, and you really start to voice some of that repressed rage, repressed anger, that violation energy, when you really are willing to let go of it, and you do it in a fashion that's conducive to letting go of it, you're sitting there by yourself, you got a towel in your mouth, you bite on it, and you put tremendous energy into the letting go process, you'll feel like blacking out for a few minutes. You'll also feel like you just released 5 or 10 pounds. You'll feel very lightheaded. It's very common for your shoulders to loosen up, for your neck to loosen up from the excess unresolved emotional anger that you've been holding on to. When you begin to forgive someone for what they did, it takes you off the hook. It also allows them to feel better about themselves. You don't ever have to confront someone to let go of your anger. You can write them a letter. You can just simply let go of them. If you're sitting around waiting for a hug and a high five, are you waiting for someone to apologize to you and you're holding them responsible and you continue to talk about it, think about it, write about it, and you continue to hold them responsible, then you're the victim rather than being the victor. When you forgive and let go, you become victorious over the feelings you've been holding on to. When you're the victim, then you play the same blame, rage, resent, overwhelm game. You never get anywhere doing that. And then when you're attempting to attract prosperity partners, soulmates, you'll continue to attract the same kind of situations and people that are familiar. When you begin to really let go of your anger, your stuffed anger, when you learn how to channel your anger, when you learn how to release your anger, your whole physiology changes. Not only does your physiology change, but you begin to change what you attract. If you have hostile anger, that hostile anger can be rechanneled into very relaxed energy. That kind of relaxed energy can be very effective. That can go from the dark side to etheric emotional energy or white light energy. When you begin to live and let go of the duality that you live in, you have all this brilliance. You're so brilliant that you can't monetize in your brilliance because you're so stuck being overwhelmed, trying to figure out how you're going to pull it off. Then you get angry at yourself for not getting compensated. The most common commonalities in anger is, I can't believe I'm here. I'm not where I should be. Well, take a look at your feet. You're unequivocally there, because if you weren't, you wouldn't be there. You are where you are because of who you are. You can also be where you want to be because of what you let go of and what you learn to live in. And the skills that you learn to develop, the habits that you start to create, and the mindset that you start to develop, a mindset of prosperity, a mindset of success, a mindset of love, a mindset of joy, bliss, and enlightenment, when you start to have a whole different perspective, it means the way you view it. Until you're the lead horse, you'll always be in the back of the pack. When you start to step up into your own life and you start to take command for your emotional state and you let go of controlling the control that keeps you out of control of the control you control, so you can be a victim, overwhelmed, angry, feel violated, rejected, and abandoned, when you begin to let go of that kind of energy, you will eventually begin to change what you attract. Your attractor factor changes. And when that happens, here's what you'll say one day. They just showed up. I can't explain it, but I went to a 2.5-day workshop called Breakthroughs to Success. I began to release some of my stuff, violated energy. I began to let go. I had a better understanding of cause and effect. I started to understand why I don't feel worthy, why I don't deserve it, why I'm not comfortable asking for a commitment. When you start to let go of your denial, understand cause and effect, have a better perspective, a better viewpoint, because you've decided to be the lead horse in your life rather than the horse tied onto the back of the stagecoach. You become the lead horse on the left-hand side of the team, because the view is always the same unless you're the lead horse. When you start to take that perspective, when you let go of the anxiety about, oh, wow, I'm not sure, I don't want to be noticed. When you let go of, if I step out there, I'm going to make a fool of myself. Well, you're angry because you don't have the courage or the guts to take a stand. And you stay there in your smallness. And then you're mad at yourself for what you didn't do. When you're mad at yourself, that's just sullen, overwhelmed, anxious energy that just keeps you stuck. You feel judgmental. Not only will you judge yourself, you'll find other people to judge because judgment has become a component of your identity. When you let go of that judgment and the people that you could not please, a lot of your judgment energy is because you grew up in households that are dysfunctional where you couldn't please your parents or you couldn't please the people in your circle of influence because they weren't pleasable. They had so much inner rage about themselves. They had so many challenges. They had their own set of addictions. And when you start to meet people where they are, understand why they did what they did, when you're objective with why you do what you do, as you begin to let go, you can let go of your unresolved anger. There's no benefit in being angry. It doesn't do anything for you. It actually attracts the very type of situation you seek to avoid, other hostile seekers. When you're angry, you'll find other people to match your energy so you can be in conflict. When you let go of your conflict consciousness and start to come from love, peace, power, when you can breathe deeply and let go, when you can change your voice and start to put some tone in it, when you can let go of your codependent control where you have to be right and have to take care of people, when you stop being disappointed in people because you're addicted to disappointment. When you're addicted to disappointment, you will attract people and situations to fulfill the feelings that keep you overwhelmed, anxious, disappointed, feeling rejected and abandoned, and most importantly, angry. When you begin to let go of your anger, well, what do I replace it with? Love. When you begin to replace anger with love, loving yourself, have a different love for the universe, a love for animals, a love for people, a love for scripture, a love for self-improvement, a love of love. When you start to love, when you start to come from love, when you love who you are, when you come from that kind of energy, when you start to really do that, when you start to really understand who you are in the world, when you can be that person you know you're capable of, when you stop judging yourself, when you stop belittling yourself, when you stop stuffing yourself, when you can look in the mirror, and whether you're 120 pounds or 240 pounds, because you know inside you there's a person of greatness. When you can come from that place, and when you start to cry from passion, it's a different kind of tear. It's not the kind of tear you cry from being a victim or being violated. When you can cry from spirit, when you can cry from release, it's a whole different kind of energy that you're transmuting and transmitting. When you can come from that place, when you can speak objectively about what you've been through, when you can be honest, objective, and real, when you can admit you're an addict, when you can admit that you've been violated, and you can admit that you've done things that you're ashamed of, then you can heal. But if you don't admit that, then you'll stay in the same place. You'll stay overwhelmed, angry, judgmental, and resentful about the person that you're not. Oftentimes, you become the person you don't want to be because you don't have the courage to be the person you could be. Because being the person you could be would contradict the person you've become. Success contradicts struggles. And for you to be successful, you'd have to change your identity. You cannot succeed in conflict. You can only succeed in prosperity and love. You just can't. It doesn't work. You can't succeed when you're hostile. You'll alienate the very people that you seek to attract. You cannot succeed from codependence. You can't succeed when you enable people because the type of people you will attract are the type of people that will disappoint you. You can only succeed from emotion and power. And power is non-physical. It's non-linear. And the type of power you have is powerful. It's not the kind of power that's physical. It's love. It's a powerful energy that you transmit and transmute. It's a love for the universe, a love of God, a love of people, a love of animals, but most importantly, a love for yourself without judgment. Success will not give you peace when you have no self-esteem. When you have no self-esteem, you will sabotage yourself, and then you will be right back where you are in unresolved anger. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, on a beautiful Tuesday night in Northern California, December 16th, the year of our Lord, 2014. We have two Tuesday night calls before the end of the era. We will be wrapping up the call next Tuesday right before Christmas. I look forward to sharing that call with you. And then December 30th, I will have the incomparable one, Susan Sly, to wrap up the calendar year 2014. Once again, if you're on this call, Carolyn Olson and I have launched a new Facebook page. It's a closed group that you can join called The Guilt Cleanse. Feel free to go to that page, join, and write what you experienced tonight or write what you experienced about letting go of guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, overwhelmed feelings, or any unresolved issues that you want to share in there that keep you feeling guilty and or overwhelmed. If you're on tonight's call and you'd like to find out more about how you can hire me before the end of the year, you can call me at 209-932 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. Thank you very much for being on tonight's call. This call is officially a call. You have a great evening.